Hi, everyone. Welcome to American Truth Finders. I'm Neil Douglas. I'm your host for the show. And again, we have another great show lined up for tonight. And in fact, if you have any children, if you have grandchildren, nieces, nephews, friends, I don't care what it is, please call them right now. If they've got internet connection, tell them to please go to bbsradio.com. It's channel 1. Or americantruthfinders.com and hit listen now. The show is live. It's a call-in show. And if you're afraid to call in, I am on Facebook, so you can message me personally. And I will ask Karen Schoen, who is our guest tonight, to the question that you want to hear or want asked. So don't be afraid. And Karen, tonight our show is Common Core, Cradle to the Grave. Folks, this is serious. Go ahead, Karen.
No, I was just going to say Arnie Duncan, who is the secretary of our education department, that was his phrase, Cradle to the Grave.
Karen, I got to tell you what. You know, what's scary, and I want my guests that may not have heard our last show, okay, to let them know something about you. I really want to get to this topic, but I want them to also know about you. You are some of the information this is about you is the fact that Agenda 21today.com. You've got America is my name.org, KarenSchoen.com, Facebook, Sharon.Schoen.3, your Twitter, Agenda21Enders, and also, Karen, you do a radio show called American Freedom Watch. So, now that we've got that taken care of, I hope everybody listened, but I tell you what, if you didn't, you can go to my archives, or you can go to BBS Radio and look up live talk shows and you'll see my face. It's there. I mean, it's not as pretty as you'd like it to be, but you can hit the archives and the show will be on there usually by either tomorrow or early Monday or Tuesday morning. Karen, let's get right down to business. I tell you what, this is a hot, very serious topic. And I want you to tell the people, because I've got some things on my mind that are really concerning to me. When you told me the next show when we're going to do the show, that you said that Common Core is about Cradle to the Grave, right? When you and I were on the phone.
That is correct. Yes,
okay.
I said that.
And I asked you flat out, Karen, what are you talking about, Cradle to the Grave? And will you please take it from there?
Well, according to, and this is not new, so please don't think that this is a new idea with Common Core. This is an old idea, and we'll go through that in a minute.
Okay.
But the Secretary of Education made multiple speeches, and in those speeches, he said that I'm going to read you a quote from one of his speeches. Hopefully,
okay,
Someday we can track children from preschool to high school and from high school to college and from college to career. We must track high-growth children in the classroom to their great teachers and their great teachers to the schools of education. This is a tracking of our children from the day that they are born and go into school, now they want preschool, until they are in a career. And that is only part of what he said, but that was the gist of that particular speech. He goes on in multiple speeches. Anyone in the audience, all you have to do is Google Arnie Duncan, and that's D-U-N-C-A-N, when he is the Secretary of Education.
Wait a minute. Repeat that, please. D-U-N.
His name is Arnie, A-R-N-I-E, Duncan,
okay.
D-U-N-C-A-N. And just type in Arnie Duncan and then Cradle to Grave, and you will see all of the speeches that he gives saying essentially what Hillary Clinton said is your children do not belong to you. They belong to the state because it takes a village to raise them.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you something right now. When you say the state, because for my audience out there that are listening to you, the state you're referring to is not the state of Florida, Tennessee, Indiana, Michigan, California. The state is what?
The state means America. They mean the government. And they loosely define the government as the state because they really don't want America either. This is the crowd that wants a one-world government with a new world order, and the United Nations should be at the top of the pyramid giving all the directives. So everything comes out of the United Nations. On the education side, it comes out of UNESCO, which is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
That's a long term, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Karen. But
no,
you have proof of this. You have back. You can prove this and back what you're saying up.
Yes, and you can go. Everyone can go to agenda21today.com. Go to when the tab opens up, go to the education page, and everything I'm saying is there in their own words, what they said, what they did in their own documentation.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking you this, because I have been posting about the, and I think it's, forgive me, I'm going to look it up real quick, but I think it's the, MSNBC, yeah, MSNBC, we have breakthrough this idea that kids belong to their parents. Other words, this article is by a professor of political science at Tulane University who said, it's on film, said that the children don't belong to their parents, they belong to the state. Now, this was just,
exactly.
You know, am I correct in that? Because this is...
absolutely correct, and this is where it's all coming from. And the reason why it's so dangerous is because, think back to the children of the 60s. They were the people, they were the kids that hated America, they were anti-establishment. They protested everything in the entire planet that was anti-establishment. Well, these are the kids that went through this schooling, and they are the government of today. So it is not a surprise that their message has carried through till today. The basic premise of education came from an act. The closest one that I could find, which was called the School to Work Act, and that was in 1994. Now, I want everybody to think, who was president in 1994? Ding, 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 ding. Does the name Bill Clinton ring a bell?
Well, you know something, I was going to say something, but I was hoping somebody might message me, but keep going.
Okay, Bill Clinton was the president at that time. His director, Mark Tucker, wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton telling them, I'm so glad that you won, and this is the way we should design the school. And they came up with the School to Work Act. Now, if we turn the clock back a few notches, and we go back to 1989, who was president? Ding, 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 ding. George Bush, 41. Now, George Bush and Bill Clinton are great friends. So let's not think that, you know, one does not communicate with the other because they were great friends. In 1989, a woman by the name of Shirley McCune, McCune, from the McReel Foundation, McReel Foundation, made a speech in front of the Governors Association. So George Bush, 41, was president. who was president of the Governors Association? Ding, ding, ding. Bill Clinton. He was governor of Arkansas and president of the Governors Association. And good old Shirley came and she told everyone at this meeting that it is their intent to change education. And in her speech, she said, school will no longer, facts in school, F-A-C-T-S, facts, the truth, will no longer be necessary. We will base our education on value. Whose value? Because to me, the facts should be standalone. But that's what she said. She also said it is the purpose of education to train our students to work. And she said, we will replace individualism with collectivism. And this was her speech, or the gist of her speech. You can Google Shirley's name. If you go to YouTube, you can actually see her giving that speech.
Do me a favor, Karen, and repeat that name for our listeners.
Her name is Shirley McCune, McCune. The foundation is called the McReel Foundation. And as a result of that speech, we got the School to Work Act. I just wanted to read you some of the things that are in that act.
Okay.
And because it's very important that we understand where the designers of Common Core came from and what was their motivation, what were they thinking, what were their thoughts, why did they design Common Core? Okay. All future funding for education must support Goals 2000. The School to Work Act chooses careers for every American worker. A child's career are to be chosen by the federal agencies. Adults changing jobs will have to be retrained. All Americans will receive a CIM, which is a government certificate, in order to qualify for a job. So what are they going to do according to this School to Work Act? And it was crafted in large part by Mark Tucker. And Mark Tucker's letter to Hillary Clinton is on agenda21today.com on the educational page. And what Mark was saying was that the CIM, or the government certificate, will replace the high school diploma. The CIM is at the heart of the new Goals 2000. The CIM will be awarded on the basis of portfolio. The CIM should be required in order for a student to get a scholarship or honors. A CIM will be evaluated by one single committee, and it will include philosophy and societal beliefs.
Yeah, Karen, let me ask you a quick question.
Education.
Let me ask you just this quick question.
Yes.
This is almost to me like this sounds like the United States of Communist America.
It is. Doesn't sound like it. That's exactly what it is.
Now, one other question with this. Madeleine Albright, when she was representative for the United States, I can't remember the exact term of the anymore. I get so angry. She signed the United States, along with the United Nations, a bill called the Rights of the Child.
Yes.
Is this part of that?
Absolutely. This is all part of to strip away the family. The purpose of this is to create dissension, confusion, and to make the school the only source where the child can get their, quote, true education. So why is Common Core so convoluted and confusing? So the parents can't help. The parent seems stupid. The parent seems, my God, my, what's wrong with you? You can't figure this out? So you are already building dissent between mom and dad and the child. Where does the child turn? The child then turns to the school. And this is on Mark Tucker's letter on page 2. He said, what is essential is that we create a seamless web of opportunities to develop one's skills that literally extend from cradle to grave and is the same system for everyone.
Okay, let me stop you there.
That's it.
And ask you this quick question. And that, because I'm going to give out our phone number just in case somebody's got a question, all right? But first of all, before I even go there, I have to ask you, when you say that, you know, it's cradle to the grave.
Yes.
This is mind control. If it's, in my opinion, yes. I mean, am I correct or not?
You are absolutely correct, because remember when I said, Shirley said that fact will be replaced with value. Okay? In order for you to believe the way I want you to believe, I have to get in your head and control your mind. Now, how do I do that? I do that by giving you a series of questions and making you answer them in accordance to what my value is, not yours.
Okay, so Karen, let me say this. Let me just really, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but you come up with
things. Anything that clarifies is very important.
Well, here's the thing. When a child is born at birth, at that point, I have no proof of this because I haven't done enough research, Karen. Maybe you have, and maybe you can help us out. But that child is given a Social Security immediately, Social Security number, or very there shortly after their birth. Am I wrong on that or not?
You are correct.
Say that again.
You are correct.
The reason I'm asking.
You are correct. You are correct. Yes.
Okay, I am correct. Thank you. The reason I'm asking is because that's where it's going to start. Then what you're telling us. So
yes, now,
ladies and gentlemen,
remember back, Neil. I don't know how old you are, but when I was born, I'm 69. When I was born, we did not get a Social Security number.
That's right.
We did not get anything. The only time we got a Social Security card was when we applied for our first job. And right on top of the Social Security card, it said, not to be used for identification purposes.
Bingo. Bingo.
Now, through political correctness and omission, what do we have now? A number. Now, think about this, because this is really where all of this came from. Let's go back to the 30s and 40s. What happened to the Jews and to the people in the concentration camp? They were no longer a name. They were a number. Why were they a number? Because they were tracked by their number. And by the way, IBM provided the tracking material, the tracking software to do that.
Are you talking IBM back then or by IBM now?
Yes. IBM back then, the first computers, that's what they were using them for, tracking the Jews in the concentration camps. And they used a number, so the person became a number. Now, what are we doing to people now? Remember what Shirley said. Individualism is not important. It is collectivism. So therefore, why do I have to know your name? That is irrelevant. You are now a number.
I'm going to say something. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'm on Facebook. You can Facebook me. Message me at Neil Douglas. If you don't want to call or are concerned about calling, please message me so I can ask Karen. I'm going to tell you something, Karen. if my audience isn't paying attention to this, then you know what? I don't want to make this sound so crude, but it's just like anything we do. If we allow it to continue to happen, then we have to suffer the consequences.
Well, sadly, we are suffering the consequences of not paying attention to education. Because to me, the most important thing that we have to pay attention to, which is actually our duty and part of our rights, Americans don't understand that they were charged with a duty as an American. That citizenship didn't come with an entitlement card. That citizenship came with a duty, and that duty was to monitor the government and monitor education and to make sure that every child could read and write, was versed in government, and was versed in the Constitution. And that is in the Federalist Papers. They talk about that all the time. And this was our fault for getting suckered in to that feel-good moment and allowing sex, drugs, and rock and roll to overtake our mental well-being and allow our educational system, which was terrific. That's another thing. What did they do? How did they change education? When I went to school, when you went to school, America was always, always in the top 10 of the world. Sometimes we were 5, sometimes we were 7, sometimes we were 3, and sometimes we were 1. But we were never out of the top 10. So that what did they do? They convinced the American people that our educational system was horrible and had to be transformed. And for those of you that don't know what the word transform means, in reality, in order to transform something, you have to destroy it first. And then you can bring it back as something new.
Wow. So that's strong. That's strong, Karen.
That's what transform means. And what we have done is we have allowed the left to take over because it was easier. Now, in all fairness to the people, there was a whole effort to make it difficult. Remember back when we were in school, when we were kids, our parents, mom usually stayed home. Dad, one parent worked, one parent stayed home and stayed with the kids. The first thing they had to do was make it impossible for the parent to come home, to be home, and they wanted to create a situation where both parents were forced to work. This was a separation, a wedge in between parent and child. So where did the child turn to? The child turned to school. And gradually, more and more social programs took the place of educational programs. And now the school day has very little education, mostly social programs. And I want people to think of this one. Many of the kids, when I went to school, when you went to school, and we had school lunch, mom or dad packed me a brown bag, and I brought my lunch to school. I wanted to eat in school, I paid money to eat in school. The children who were poor got a ticket, and they were able to get either reduced lunch or lunch, or not pay any. The same thing happened with bus passes. Third graders traveling on the bus themselves. Right now, we'd be arrested if we did that. Huh. I was in the fifth grade, and I was traveling on the New York subway myself. My parents would be in jail for child abuse today. So what have we done to the family? We have destroyed the family, and we have allowed the school to replace the family. Today, the kids get free breakfast and free lunch. Why? So that they're not at home spending time with the family unit and learning the morals and the values of the family. They are
Karen, can I ask you a quick question about this whole thing with the teachers and the schools and the children of today? Many of the teachers that have been in teaching for quite some time don't even like Common Core, okay? They don't understand it. And a lot of teachers are retiring early because of it, number one. But I want to ask you, because you brought up something that I don't think our audience is even aware of, okay? And I want to have you clarify how this is done. But the new teachers coming in, the young ones, okay, mm-hmm. getting out of college, you're already been brainwashed by the liberal left, I mean very left professors, with the exception of some that are very good, and you know what I'm saying. Okay, so these teachers are told, this is what you teach. This is how you teach. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the older teachers that are familiar with Common Core don't want any part of it.
Exactly.
So other words, is it, what happens and how much education do they have to even go in and teach?
Okay, well, let's think back to the 60s, what was going on in the 60s and 70s. We had the Vietnamese War. Vietnamese War was a war that was a draft. Okay, they made teaching draft exempt. So all of those people that hated America and hated the war and hated the establishment, et cetera, became teachers. And I myself was one of those teachers. Now, I was not in the draft because it was a draft and only the men were going to be going. Many, many friends became teachers. It was easy for them to twist and turn and control, and over the years, it evolved. Today, what's going on in our life right now, kids are spending thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to get an education, and they have no jobs. So what have they done? They did exactly the same thing. Want a job? Become a teacher. And Obama put in place a program called Teach for America, which is a part of the AmeriCorps program, and they made it into, if you want to become a teacher, we will forgive some of your debt. So to me, what they're doing is they're saying this is mandatory volunteerism, because the only way you're going to be able to get out of your debt is if you work at becoming a teacher. And the course for becoming a teacher is 5 weeks long. Why? Because they're not teaching anything of substance, and everything is on the computer. So the teacher is now merely a monitor. She's not teaching anything. There's very little interaction between the teacher and the child. Imagine how a child feels sitting in a classroom 6 hours a day in front of a computer screen. That's enough to drive anybody nuts. But that's what we're forcing our kids to do.
I couldn't do it myself. And Karen, now I want to go one step further, just in case somebody's asking. What you're saying is, yes, these teachers, because of the Teach for America program, okay, they are people that have gone to college and have some kind of degree, like a BA in maybe liberal arts or whatever it might be. In other words, they do have to have a college degree. Is that correct or not?
Yes, they still have to have a college degree, but go and take a look at what are the degrees that they are giving out in college today, and you'll find that the majority of the degrees are all focused around some type of sustainability program, because that's all they care about. How to teach the people to be sustainable, because if we're not sustainable, we're going to destroy the planet, and we're all going to die because it's the human's fault. So basically, it's a form of control. And these kids come out of school and they have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree in some sustainable science, and they can't find a job. So they're stuck. And that's why it was so easy for them to become teachers. But I don't even call them teachers. I call them monitors. And that's they're monitors.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I mean, a child sitting in a classroom and the teacher's kind of just monitoring the kids, but they have to watch, like you said, this screen in front of them, and that's supposed to teach them, the, you know, their education, but guess what? Correct me if I'm wrong. They're not teaching about American history. They're not teaching about world government or world geography. Let me rephrase that. They're not teaching government even in high school anymore, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. But they're not teaching math the way you and I know about it. So what are they teaching?
They're teaching how to feel good, because if it feels good, then you can do it. And that's why we as a society right now have so many issues and problems with our young kids, because they don't equate the taking of a life to actually taking a life. Because if they feel good about it for the moment, then it's okay to do. So when I was talking to one of the people who was supporting Common Core, I was asking her about, you know, feeling good and how important it was to feel good. And I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Would you like to go to a doctor who feels good about medicine or one who actually knows about medicine? I didn't get an answer. Would you like to go to a mechanic who feels good about cars or actually knows about cars? So they're not teaching anything of substance. And that's why everything is now becoming computerized, because the human being is losing their capacity to reason, to think critically, to think at all, and they are just capable of pushing a button. What does a mechanic do now? You go and you hook up the car to the computer, and the computer tells you what to do with the car. And my husband, who loves to play with cars, is furious because he said, I can't fix the car because now I have to have this expensive computer. He said, when I used to be able to just check the fluids myself, now I have to bring it.
I've heard that from so many people. I've heard that from so many people, Karen. I mean, it's like unreal. It really is.
Why is that? Because if everybody is going to be the same, which is their goal, then you have to pick the lowest common denominator of sameness. And what's the lowest common denominator? Can you read a computer screen? Can you push an app? Because you certainly don't have to think. So that's what we have created in our schools. And that's why when I talk about Common Core, I usually describe it as limited learning for lifelong labor, because that's what you're doing. You're learning a little bit so that you will become an indentured servant and work forever as you try to get rid of your loans that you have accrued for coming to school.
Okay, so actually what's happening is we're creating robots out of the children.
Yes. And that's why when you listen to people like Bill Gates or Ted Turner, they talk about how we are destroying the planet because it is overpopulated, and the planet would really be good if there was a billion people or less.
Yes, sorry.
Because you think about a brain, okay? A brain is capable of only one thought at a time. Now, all of the things that you have experienced through your life are locked away in your brain, and when you go to do something, you kind of like you open that door of the file cabinet. Your brain really fast sits through and says, oh, this is the way you do that. If you can't do that anymore, you're going to replace that thought with something else. So what have we taught our children to replace anything of substance with? They replace it with the sport. They replace it with fashion. They replace it with what's going on in Hollywood. That's the most important thing to them, not how am I going to fix my car? How am I going to do a scientific experiment with my child? They're not replacing it with anything of value. They're replacing their thought process with superficial nonsense. And
then they're being... Can I give you a quick example of something I saw this week? Number one, and this is totally off the subject, but it's kind of a comparison of what you're just saying, that the kids are being concentrated on Hollywood, the music, and whatever else goes on, okay? This week, I think it was this week, they've taken the Dukes of Hazzard off of TV, right? Mm-hmm. But it's okay for Siley, what is her name, Riley?
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, thank you. I get so disgusted. She can come out as a, excuse me, I'm not going to say the word, but, and they allow that to still be there for the kids to watch and see, and yet they'll take the Dukes of Hazzard off. Is this kind of the same thing you're talking to and referring to as far as this mind control and brainwashing that's going to happen to these children with Common Core?
Yes. Sex is very, very important to these people because, again, if you look at history, the majority of them have all been involved in some sort of sexual scandal, even the church. And when I saw the priest, the bishop, forgiving priests for being a pedophile, I knew the handwriting was on the wall. So sex is the connecting factor now, and sexualizing young children then makes sex no big deal.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick. Starting at kindergarten, what I call kindergarten, I might be pronouncing it wrong, but because that's what they call it when I went to school. But let me say this. I read they're teaching every form of sex possible to kindergarten children. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, I am looking right now, and anybody can put this on, and they can Google this as well. This is the National Sexuality Educational Standards for Core Content and Skills from K-12, put out by the Department of Education.
Now,
why are they doing this? Well, think about what I said before. What are they trying to teach the kids? The planet is overpopulated. What happens if you have a healthy relationship with your family and you have a loving mother and a loving father? What do you as a child want? You want to recreate that relationship. Okay? If you take that away, and you make sex a thing of the moment, a joy for the minute, then having children is not part of the equation. So abortions are paramount. Why? So that there will be less population. And guess what? It's working. It's working.
That's the scary part.
The only thing that's not working is in the Muslim religion because they're busy having 8 and 10 kids so that they can train them to be suicide bombers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Different topic.
Well, you know what you're saying goes right along with this fact that that when the state says parents that are now have children, you're really not the parent because we're not going to allow you to. And so when the child goes home and tells their parent, you're wrong. My teacher said you're wrong. So don't even tell me if that, you know, 2 and 2 is 4 because the teacher tells me not to listen to you. Is that part of Common Core?
Absolutely. And I remember that. This was, who said that? Al Gore. Don't listen to anybody over 30. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, that ought to fire people up.
Yeah. How many? I remember when I was teaching, that was the verbiage that was going around. Don't listen to your grandparents. What do they know? They're old-fashioned. It's old school. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to learn about that. We only go looking forward. What can the future bring? Well, if you go by sustainability, the future will bring nothing because the nature of sustainability is to have a no-growth society. So when was the last, here's a good question, when was the last time you heard somebody say, think outside the box?
Well, I've heard it, but that doesn't mean anybody else has.
When was the last time you heard it? I haven't heard that in a
while. Okay. The last time, I cannot tell you. That's the truth. I cannot tell you when the last time was.
Why? Because they don't want you to think outside the box. They want you to think in the box. They want you to think what they want you to think. So when they say, when the people who want Common Core in those programs, they say, oh, but it offers choice. No, it doesn't. It only offers the choice of what they tell you is allowable. Why are all of the tests multiple choice? Because the kid is reading a paragraph, and the kid then has to choose an answer from that paragraph, not from their brain, from that paragraph. So you are instilling in that child what is written in the value of that paragraph. So one of the books that they have in Florida is called Voices. And I was reading one of the paragraphs. And Jane comes home from school, and her mother tells her to please help make the bed and clean up her room. And the question then is Jane's mother nagging her, or is Jane's mother asking her, what should Jane do? Well, you know what the correct answer is? Jane's mother is nagging her. What happens when that kid goes home and mom says, hey, Jane, could you help me set the table? You know what the answer is? Stop nagging me, Ma.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this show, I want you to think about how many times, and I'm talking about people that have small children, of course, or younger children, have heard that come out of their mouth. What Karen just said, stop nagging me, Mom. Get off my back. I've heard that one before myself, just in the stores from children.
Yes. So where does it come from? It comes from the, quote, literature, because they don't read literature anymore. Now, why don't they read literature anymore? Here's an interesting thing. Literature provided us with the examples of morality, of value, the great novels of literature. They were period pieces. They gave you insight to what the characters thought of at that time. And when you were reading literature, you could have a picture of what life was like. Okay? Well, they don't read literature anymore, so the kids have no experiences to base anything on. And Common Core has them reading instructional manuals from corporations. That's how they learn to read. No wonder why our kids can't read. How interesting is it to read instructional manuals from General Motors? Wow, I'm real excited about that.
You know, that's frightening.
What happens is the kid is sitting in his chair being bored to death because he can't put any of his own emphasis on anything, because if he does, he's deemed a troublemaker. Or if his mom and dad say, no, this is the right answer, and he goes to school and he says, but my mom and dad said that, all of a sudden this child is now a troublemaker. And if he is bored enough and creates enough trouble, man, we got a drug for you.
That's you know answer. What? I gotta ask you two things real quick, okay? Let's start with, I'm just going to quick, I'll let you answer them, but I'm going to ask you two real quick questions. One of them is that right here in our own country, when I think it was George Bush, that said, no child left behind, the start of that program?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, is this isolated to just the United States, or has this grown, you know, because it's a UN Agenda 21 type program, has it grown around the world at all?
This is around the world, and it has been around the world longer than in the United States. It took them a longer period of time to dumb down the Americans to accept this. In the socialist countries, it was easier for them to accept it because they had no input. In America, the parents had input at one time, the PTA, Parent Teachers Association. I remember going to those. Now nobody has them. The parents don't go to school. There's no such thing in many communities. So once they were able to separate and take the parents out of the equation, it was very easy for them to manipulate the American mind. In 2004, Bill Gates signed an agreement with Microsoft and UNESCO, again, to create the software for worldwide Common Core in order to have a trained society to work for the corporations that the government was involved in. So this is a world program that is they call it Worldwide Common Core. This is going on in every single country. And when Joe Biden said the school should be like the schools in China, this is exactly what he was talking about. And in China, what happens? They pick the kids that are going to go and work in the government programs, and they pick the kids that are going to work in the factories. And the kids that work in the factories live above the factory in a little cubicle of about 300 to 400 square feet. And they go downstairs and go to their work. And then they go upstairs and go to their home. And that is called sustainable development. That is our smart growth program. And that's what they are pushing everybody into, because they believe that smart people require more of their government. So it is their duty to dumb the people down. And they have done a very, very successful job. And I know we're going to run out of time in a few minutes. So if I could say a couple of solutions, that would be... Would you mind, Neil, if I talked about some of the things that people can
absolutely
do?
Talk about it. This is so, to me, this is so serious that people need to know what you are
saying. As a parent,
to say.
You must demand to see everything your child reads, because what they're attempting to do is eliminate books, so that the kid has nothing to bring home, so that mom and dad have no clue as to what the child is reading in school. And in many cases, the children are told, do not share this information with your parents. So one of the things that you can do as a parent is make sure, demand of the school that you see every single thing that is printed that your child reads. That'll make them nuts, number one, and it'll make them, you know, I mean, spending all that money on paper, they'll go crazy. So the alternative, of course, is to use books. What a surprise. The other thing is, we really have to start following what our opponents are doing and boycotting those people and corporations that are pushing this Common Core education on us. And believe me, boycotts work. Look what is going on right now, and I'm going to ask everybody when you hang up, turn if you get Reels, R-E-E-L-Z, turn it on whether you watch it or not, and watch the Miss USA pageant. Why am I telling you to do that? Because NBC and Univision took it off the air because they did not like what Donald Trump said. I don't care what he said. No retail establishment, no media has a right to tell me what how I should think. So turn on Reels, turn on the Miss USA pageant, and let it be known that more people in America have watched this pageant than ever before because we have the numbers. We're not using them. And it's very, very important that we criticize and we look at who we do our business with. We have to learn to vote with our wallet because that's the only thing that they listen to. If we stop, when I saw what was going on, I called Macy's and I said, I will never do business with you. No retailer has a right to tell me how I should think politically. Whether I agree with the man or I don't agree with the man, you don't have a right to tell me. You don't like their politics? Fine. I'm not going to your store. I went into the local supermarket, and I asked them where the fish was from America. And I was told, we don't have any. So I said in a loud, clear voice, and I will not be shopping in this store because I will only buy fish from America. When I was walking away, the manager of the fish department came over to me and he said, I wish more Americans would do that. Then we would have fish from America. If we want to bring American jobs back, we have to demand them. And we have been silent for too long. Boycotts worked. They worked in the 60s. We're not doing them because the people in power who set up the boycotts are the people in power today. We need to give them a dose of their own medicine.
Oh,
we need
gosh.
To
Karen,
make
Karen,
them accountable.
Karen, I'm going to tell you something. There was so much information. We're running. I am short running close to the end of the show. We've probably got about, I don't know, maybe 2.5 minutes or whatever. 2 minutes, okay. And let me just say this to you, or to my audience, excuse me. I want you to go to Karen's site, agenda 21today.com. Is that the good, the best one for them to find out what you're talking about tonight?
Yes. Well, also KarenShone.com is where I put my blog information and my current information. So all the articles that I write are on KarenShone.com, and that's KarenShone.com. But all the history is on Agenda21Today.com because Agenda 21 is the UN initiative that is the plan that is behind all of this. And if you think that Jeb Bush is going to deviate from his daddy who signed this plan and wanted it implemented in America, folks, please don't be fooled.
Okay, Karen, I don't want to interrupt you. I got less than a minute to go. I'm going to tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention to what Karen is saying because this is so important. Whether you're a parent, a grandparent, or an aunt, or an uncle, or whatever you are that is involved with small children, you better pay attention because you're going to lose your children. You're not going to be the parent. And that's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Karen, I can't thank you enough for being on my show. And
it was a pleasure, Neil, and I enjoyed it as always.
You are great.
Thank you for sharing this important information.
Karen, I thank you for returning to the show and taking the time to talk to my audience. I've got about 20 seconds left. You're fantastic. Thank you so much. And I hope we can do this again. This is just too important. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Neil Douglas. This is American Truth Finders. And, hey, tune in next. Actually, it's the 26th of July at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on bbsradio.com or americantruthfinders.com. Thank you. Good night. And God bless.